Won't discuss each paper individually and then saying what is good or bad about it, but just taking the liberty to develop some, what I think, more general ideas or conceptual problems about historicizing regionalism in Africa. So, of course, when we talk now, the panel is entitled Historical Dimensions. So, of course, the first question would be, what could historical dimensions mean, and do we need history in order to understand current developments? And of course, as an historian, I'm inclined to say yes, but then we have to be more specific about it. And just taking, first of all, the concept of regionalism. Here and in many papers, it's not really clear if it is an analytical category or if it is a category used by different actors. So I think we should kind of distinguish much more clearly how we use the term. And then, of course, it seems to be one of these terms which, on the one hand, seems to be a universal concept which could be used everywhere in the world, and on the other hand, it seems to be very much historically or regionally specific. So again, I mean, this is part of the problem, and people here just use it, and I think papers need, or in our discussions, we need more reflection about the context and the kind of our usage of it. Also, it seems to be an historically contingent category, which is used here and there, but it's, for example, not at all true. Was it already a concept used, or was a term used in the 1950s or 60s? Was it used by people in southern Sudan, or was it used by people in French West Africa in the 1950s? So I think this is something which we really have to do in order to I think, better situate our various cases. The other thing is then, if we look at this problem from a historical perspective, what is, of course, what becomes a very important context are, first of all, the nation state, which is related to regionalism in many ways. So, I mean, talking about regionalism automatically means talking about the nation state and its relation to it, but also talking, at least in terms of Africa, of many historical efforts to go beyond the nation state, that is Pan-Africanism, or efforts to regionalism. And I think that one of the points which is unfortunately not made in the paper by Bara is that it's interesting and important that for many African politicians in the 1950s, the nation state was not the only option. People like Senghor were very hard thinking about this kind of regional integrative model and becoming part of France, so to speak, as part or as in the context of a kind of integrated regional entity. So I think that's important that this was an option. And we always tend to think about nationalism and the kind of nation state as the ultimate goal of African nationalism, which is not true. And I think this is a good example for also kind of putting emphasizing the historical dimension of regional efforts, which were not only kind of French ideas and then kind of post upon African politicians, but it was also very much part of their visions about a future Africa. Then the other thing which we should be aware of is what were the constellations at the time of the period of independence. So we have then the nation-state model as a model to go with. So all the other things failed for a couple of reasons, and we have to discuss very carefully why it failed and who was in a way responsible for it. So we have the nation state and nation building, which, for example, in this the case of Sudan is one of the examples you can have, which means suppressing or even eliminating regionalisms of all kinds. So you have, chiefs were prevented, all kind of regional orders or so-called traditional political unities and so on were suppressed in most states in the name of nation building. On the other hand, you had efforts of Pan-Africanism, but those two were more or less failed around 1960 because the nation state seemed to be much more important. And of course, Nkrumah, who was one of the most important supporters of this Pan-African model, I mean, made clear from the beginning, a bit like Museveni, that he wanted to become the president of a united Africa, which of course then did not help his cause very much. But again, I mean, you have this kind of context where people played with a variety of options, but the nation state won the day, for worse or for better. I think this is a context in which we then have to situate a variety of developments in terms of regional efforts, be it within nation state territories, or be it as a kind of regional integration uniting or putting together a number of then nation states. And here another element which I think is important we have to discuss comes into play, that's the colonial boundaries and their longue durée. And the decision at the meeting of the African, or then Organization of African Unity, to keep these boundaries and not to change. And I think for very good reasons. And for example, one of the ideas was that changing these boundaries would mean eternal conflicts. And I'm still not, one shouldn't exaggerate the importance of these boundaries for a number of conflicts in Africa. I think all this talk that ethnic conflicts are a result of colonial boundaries, I think is, quite frankly, is nonsense. So I think these kind of, and there may be cases where it is true, but as a kind of general feature, it doesn't really help. So I think, but we still have to look at these boundaries and their importance, and to what extent these were kind of tough boundaries, to what extent people on the ground always kind of transcended these boundaries, and so on and so forth. And I mean, of course, there is a whole library of these boundaries studies and so on, and they make very clear that these boundaries on the ground, I mean, were not that important as a kind of dividing line, but in practice, in economic practice, in political practice, in cultural practice, I mean, they were always quite open. But again, I think this is, if we want to discuss it, and then also discuss how these boundaries are related to the definition or practice or imagining of regions, I think these boundaries deserve a bit more of our attention. Another thing which came up in the papers here and there is, of course, motives for whatever kind of regionalism or regional integration. I mean, who's running the show? The just people like Museveni, thinking that they could kind of making their project more viable through economic or political integration of their country? Or are there also interests on the ground? I mean, is it an elite project? Or is it something which is also kind of developed on the ground? It didn't become very clear in the paper. I mean, mostly probably in the Sudan paper, but here again we have this kind of internal state thing. But especially for this kind of regional models transcending nation-state boundaries, I mean, who's running it? I think this is something which we have to address. And then the other thing, of course, we are here at the center, which is working on the transformative power of Europe, is, of course, what is Europe's role, or what is the role of foreign powers in all this, also historically? For instance, I mean, in the first paper is, are the kind of regional corporations a kind of neo-colonial endeavor, just a clever trick by France to continue its power, or what other actors are involved, and to what extent is it just a kind of concept coming from Europe and then more or less putting into practice in Africa? I mean, here the question of agency, which has been mentioned, was the important thing. I mean, who are the agents in all these processes? And I think we should think more carefully about these agents, but also how they change and how their concepts are changing. And we should look more carefully at what ideas of regions are around. And here again, history comes into play, because most of these ideas or concepts of regions refer in one way or the other to history. But what kind of history? I mean, who are then the experts who define historical region? I mean, Senegambia, I think it's a very interesting case, because here you have some historians like Boubacar Barry very much kind of promoting Senegambia also for political reasons, but arguing as a professional historian with kind of sources and all you need in order to make an historical argument. So I think this kind of also, I wouldn't say instrumentalization, but the use of history for political purposes in the context of regionalization is something which, if we want to look at the historical dimensions of this problem, should come into the picture as well. So I think in the three papers we have elements to discuss all of the issues I was just raising, but I think we should do it probably in a more systematic way. But also I think the papers reflect what Martin said in the beginning, that of course the historical dimension of this problem, I mean, under research is always this kind of term which I don't like, but I think it needs more research in order to really then answer or analyze with much more substance the current problems and the wide array of concepts around in regionalization in Africa. And I think I should stop here.